Produced at the studios of KBOO Radio in Portland, Oregon, this is Free Culture Radio. I'm Doug McVeigh. Free Culture Radio is an examination of drugs, drug cultures, and the ineluctable, indelible, and indispensable influence of drugs on society. Free Culture Radio neither promotes the use of any drugs, nor condemns people for being involved in drugs. To the extent that drug use presents problems for individuals or society, those problems are made worse and more intractable when drug users are treated as others and ignored, stigmatized, and even brutalized. On this edition of Free Culture Radio, we look at sports, sport medicine, and medicinal cannabis. First, I should start with a confession. I know very little about sports. I mean, I was a geeky nerd when I was a kid. Debate and choir and drama. Yeah, that, but sports? Phew. A little bit about association football, you know, soccer. But aside from that, nothing. I do know enough about hockey and about sports to know that you were a really good professional. And what you're doing now is, I think, exceptional, because you're using that stature, you're using that position. I mean, we hold athletes on a real pedestal. And for you to come forward and speak out about something that's controversial, it's controversial and yet it's benign. I mean, medical cannabis is such an obvious thing. There should not be a reason for it to be controversial, and yet it is. I've been doing this for a long time, and people told me that it took us to speak out back in those days, and whatever, I was just a kid. And nowadays, it's less so, but it is still, and yet it still takes guts to do that kind of stuff. And, I mean, you could be in retirement selling insurance, selling cars, selling houses, doing any kind of thing that fame would allow you to do. And instead, you're using your fame and your stature, you're using that to promote some good work. And I think that is just exceptional. I think that's tremendous. It is an absolute pleasure to be sitting here and speaking with you. And listeners, gentleman with me here is Riley Cote. He is a retired hockey player. You're with Philadelphia Flyers.
Yep.
Tell me about yourself.
Yeah, well, I'm from Winnipeg, Manitoba. I grew up, born and raised in Winnipeg. Played my youth hockey in Winnipeg. I was able to move on to the junior ranks and moved away when I was 16 years old to the Western Hockey League, and I was never drafted. So when I turned pro at the age of 20, I decided to take on a different type of role within the hockey game, and that was the enforcer role, actually being more of a physical presence, getting on the body, but ultimately answering the bell and fighting within the hockey game. Everyone kind of knows hockey for its hockey fights, and I was one of those guys fighting 30, 35 times a year, so that was the direction I chose, because I thought it was the easiest way for me to really carve out an identity and find, my niche and just kind of find myself within the team. You know, I was going up against the best goal scorers in the world. I put up some decent numbers in junior, but again, I wasn't a highly offensive guy when in the grand scheme of the best players in the world. So, the path I chose was fighting, and I'd been introduced to cannabis at a young age of 15 in very recreational settings, but it wasn't until I really turned pro when I started fighting on a regular basis that the daily anxieties increased, because now I was getting paid to play hockey, the performance anxiety, but then on top of that the anxiety of fighting was cranked to the roof. So cannabis ended up being a huge therapeutic tool for me. Not only just for the anxiety, but for the pain post-game and the inflammation. And I learned about the science on the back end of it, but the anti-inflammatory properties, but just, the state of relaxation and calming the nervous system and promoting rest. So that was huge for me. And, every team and every league I played in, there was always a group of guys that, would consume cannabis, obviously quietly and amongst, the small group. And we weren't really didn't talk about it in the locker room. So whether I was in the Central Hockey League, East Coast Hockey League, American Hockey League, or ultimately when I landed up making the NHL, it was there's always a group of guys, and there was always guys doing it. So I landed up using that as an ally and as a healing tool, not knowing how much of a healing tool it was at the time, because I was still recreationally drinking and probably drinking too much. But it wasn't until I made the NHL, when I started traveling via plane, when I started leaving my cannabis behind, because of obvious reasons of losing my job. I didn't want to screw around with the border. And it was then when I kind of got swallowed up in the toxic cycle of just managing, you know, your aches and pains with opioids and sleeping pills and, you know, kind of managing the recovery process unsustainably. So, age of 27, you know, the physical body was starting to break down. You know, I was averaging about a surgery a year. And, you know, the age of 28, I landed up retiring. You know, I had one more year on my NHL contract. My physical body was completely, you know, mangled. My performance had dropped. You know, I really attribute to that to just, you know, managing everything unsustainably. And I landed up having a job, offering a job in, you know, coaching the Philadelphia Flyers minor league team. So I, you know, hopped on that opportunity because it gave me an opportunity to kind of escape the physical abuse I was putting my body through, but, you know, also to give myself an opportunity to find myself and find a healing state. And it was that last year when I started kind of transitioning my diet and my way of life, but mainly my diet from, you know, from high amounts of animal protein. You know, we were consumed with the idea of consuming protein, and a lot of it was whey protein, which is an isolate, basically the remnants of the cheese industry that's ground up into powder, and we're consuming this thinking that we're, you know, gaining muscle and increasing performance. Well, I learned that not to be true and started finding digestible protein sources like hemp seeds, and started learning about the cannabis plant as a whole, you know, starting from a food source, and started learning about other non-psychoactive cannabinoids. Everyone's so consumed with the, you know, just the THC molecule, but learning the properties of, you know, these other cannabinoids and learning that, you know, about the neuroprotective properties of some of these cannabinoids. And, you know, looking back on my career and seeing that I've been punched in the face over 1,000 times, been over 250 pro fights, and, you know, maybe the cannabis use was, you know, protecting my brain and helping with my mental health long term. And I started, you know, now I started ingesting cannabinoids derived from industrial hemp consciously, you know, full spectrum CBD, just to kind of get activate the endocannabinoid system a little bit more consciously, and, you know, making it part of my daily regimen. You know, I look at cannabis as a preventative tool. I mean, it should be a daily dietary essential. And that was when I really started having this passion for cannabis as a whole. And so it's much bigger than just, like, everyone just wants to call it medicine. And I think it's much bigger than that. You know, I think we don't need to get in some of these disease states that we're in and currently facing to have or to seek cannabis. I think it should be part of our diets already. Small dosage. If you don't even want to get into the THC, you don't have to. I mean, there's all kinds of benefits of non-psychoactive cannabinoids. But my point being is just really taking ownership of our health and just getting back to basics and getting back to Mother Nature. And you know, the hemp and cannabis thing has been a huge, huge part of my life. I coached 7 years in the minor leagues, and I put myself out there enough publicly where I lost my job because of it. But I needed that to happen because I was so passionate about this, and, you know, have so much fire, you know, with getting this message out there. But now I just really try and mainstream cannabinoids. Cannabinoids usage, preventative medicine through cannabinoids, through sports. And I know a ton of guys that I played with and against that struggle with substance abuse, addiction, alcohol and opioid, lack of purpose and identity. And, you know, I just want to help them find themselves, you know, introduce them to a healing tool like cannabis and hemp is derived cannabinoids, but also find, you know, giving them and introducing them to a possible new sector of their life and identity, giving these guys an opportunity, something to grab onto. It's about giving back and paying it forward. So I think getting back in the community and telling your story and connecting with people, you know, it's very real stuff. And a lot of these guys, again, the ego has been their driver their whole life. They've been an athlete. Everyone's known them for their job, but not necessarily about who they are inside. And I think once you retire from a sport, it's very challenging for a lot of guys because they don't know who they are. You know what I mean? So I think cannabis is a connector plant, and it offers not only, you know, healing, physical healing and mental health healing, but, you know, connection and community and giving back and, you know, spreading the good word and all that good stuff. So Athletes for Care is an organization that I helped co-found, and really, again, just normalizing cannabinoids through sports, but it's not selfishly just worrying about athletes. It's really trying to, you know, normalize the message with guys putting themselves out there, talking about their experiences, backing them up with science, and then, you know, people can relate to the stories a lot more. Well, you know, when it's backed up in the name of medicine and in the medical field. So that's where I'm at today, and that's why I'm here today, is just to kind of talk about my story a little bit and how cannabis saved my life.
Right on. And of course, we are here at the Patients Out of Time 2018, the 12th National Clinical Conference on Cannabis Therapeutics. Cannabis relieves pain and treats addiction. And I need to mention that I do work for Patients Out of Time doing web and social media. Well, you said social. So you said selfish because you know it's centered on athletes, and obviously it affects other people. But athletes, we demand so much. You're our entertainers. You're the people who. I mean, you go out into the Coliseum and you fight. You know, in the Bears and the Lions and the Tigers and the. Interesting side note, gladiators were vegan. I mean, we demand so much. We demand, oh, hurt yourselves more. We want to see something break. And it's messed up. But you guys do this thing and you hurt yourselves on a daily basis. And I think it's great that you're doing this because we push you guys to hurt yourselves badly. And then we have rules that say you have to use dangerous chemicals to try and make yourself healthy and to get back out there and to keep hurting yourselves again. And I think it's quite noble. I mean, you're right, the whole population can learn from this stuff, but you're an elite group of people and, you know, it's messed up what we do. I think it's messed up what we do to you. So anyway, Athletes for Care. Tell me a little more about that because that's a. I've seen some of the stuff. I've followed several of you folks on Twitter, and we've been talking about this because cannabis and the healing properties, especially with the concussions and all that people are getting. But tell me about Athletes for Care for a minute.
Yeah, just to build off what I was talking about earlier, is Athletes for Care was designed to be a platform, kind of like a players association in a sense for alternative medicine or alternative healing. So giving guys the resources that they're not being given by their teams or the players association. So cannabis being the obvious one of, you know, the cat's out of the bag. It's a healing tool. It's a recovery tool. It's almost a godsend from an athlete's perspective, but giving guys education and giving guys, you know, opening the door to these alternatives. Again, a lot of these guys are well-versed in, say, just, you know, mainstream cannabis, but a lot of these guys are not well-versed, you know what I mean? There's a lot of, you know, old thinking that, you know, cannabis is this, you know, Schedule One, and you know, what it is, and that it's lumped in there with all these other hard drugs, and people can't wrap their heads around the fact that it could be different. So, you know, changing, you know, the public perception with some of these alumni guys, but really just trying to give these guys a tool, again, not only for their physical pain, because a lot of these guys leave the game with the surgery and they leave the game with, you know, with a banged up physical body. And on top of that, a lot of these guys leave the game with some sort of mental health issue. Again, they pound the alcohol, they're left with prescription drugs of opioids and sleeping pills and the rest of it, and then they're sitting at home trying to figure themselves out. Where do I fit in? What am I? What is my identity? What is my purpose? And I think those are tough questions to ask a very, you know, ego-driven human being that's been, you know, glorified for their entertainment value on the ice. And going back to what you were saying earlier, is just to kind of get off topic just a little bit here, is that you know, the fans pay for our, you know, our basically pay our contracts. They deserve and they're expecting entertainment. And no one forced me to go out there and fight the lion and the bear. I chose that. It was a dream of mine to play in the NHL. It just happened to be that was the only way I could make the NHL, was to fight the lion and the bear. I mean, at the time, you're a mindless warrior, and then you realize along the way that what you're doing is very unsustainable, and then there's a price to pay. But again, that's ego. You know what I mean? For me, that was ego. But you live and you learn. And then you come back to me retiring at the age of 28, I had a lot of questions. So, you know, the Athletes for Care program is really being a platform for the transitioning out of the game and transitioning out with sustainable tools and cannabis and normalizing cannabis through sports and you know, having this conversation. We really got into it on these panel discussions at these types of events 4 years ago with a bunch of other athletes. And it was always the same thing, just different story. You know, a football player and a UFC fighter and a hockey player. And it's like, well, you have your cannabis story, I have my cannabis story. well, we need to make a routine of this and create panels and go around almost like a tour and have a scientific backed approach to it with a medical doctor or a researcher and make a thing of it. So that was what we started to do. We kind of went on tour and started preaching the good word, and it's kind of grown legs and momentum. And you know what I mean? Again, you say that the, for whatever reason, people look up to the athlete as the new age gladiator, in a sense. Especially, you know, contact sports and people demand entertainment. They pay a lot of money to watch these sports. So they look up to athletes. And, you know, when you listen to a real message and it's about pain, and it's about anxiety, and it's about drug abuse and substance abuse and all this stuff, the average person connect with it. Because what I've learned in this space is that no matter where you are on the map, everyone suffers from the same emotions. Anxiety is anxiety, whether it's self-inflicted or not. Pain is pain. Sleep issues is sleep issues. You know, so everyone is struggling, and everyone needs a sustainable tool to manage these things. And cannabis is that tool. I've lived it. I can assure you of that. And you know, now the science is just overwhelmingly backing up my belief system. So I can stand firm on my, you know, my belief system with, you know, Athletes for Care, and stand proud when I talk about cannabinoids and in sports. You know, we're getting into some research, some CTE stuff. You know, the brain. I mean, it's a huge, huge, huge topic right now. But just you know, mainstreaming and normalizing science through sports, and using some of these alumni players as, I don't want to call them guinea pigs, but yeah, I mean, get these guys on some cannabis and different delivery methods, and get some data collected. You know what I mean? Get them in part of these clinical trials that some of these states are trying to implement, and that's the plan. You know, it's slow moving, but we're moving, and things are changing. And you know, the cat's out of the bag, but now it's just kind of just mainstream it. You know, and you know, cannabis and sports was once an oxymoron, but now all the science connects them both together like so perfectly, because cannabis is recovery. And if you want to use the word recovery, you just want to use healing, it's all the same. Everyone's got to calm the nervous system, everyone's got to manage the stressors and anxiety, everyone's got to manage pain sustainably, and everyone's got to sleep. If you do those things right, you wake up in the morning feeling pretty damn good. But if you screw around with that cycle, especially the sleep, the pain's enhanced, the inflammation's enhanced, the anxiety's enhanced. And then depression kicks in, and then mental health kicks in, and it's hard to keep up. And then we're over-consuming caffeine, we're over-consuming alcohol, and we're just medicating unsustainably. So I think this, the cycle and the culture of life, and society, and specifically in hockey, it's just about, you know, managing your pains unsustainably. It's alcohol, alcohol and opioids and sleeping pills. So it's just, you can't go very long doing that. You know what I mean? In this business of sports, especially from a management standpoint, depending on how long you sign your player for, but you're only expecting him to be as best as he can be for that short amount of period. After that, you know, you're on your own and out of sight, out of mind. You don't have to worry about those health issues anymore. So, again, in sports, it's not taught to manage everything sustainably. But that's what we're trying to teach with Athletes for Care, and just giving these guys a sustainable tool, a non-addictive tool, and above and beyond that, introducing them to meditation and yoga and, you know, diet, you know, nutritional healing and stuff like that. A lot of stuff they've never been taught. Again, going back to the ego, a lot of these guys are egomaniacs, and now their connection is severed because no one cares who they are or what they're doing, because they're not in the limelight. So you have to find yourself, you have to reconnect, and meditation is a huge connection tool. Yoga, you know, for the physical body, you know, just kind of reversing the tense, tight muscles that we've, you know, created over the years. But again, breathing, meditative state of yoga, that whole bit, and just connection. I mean, it's all about connection and purpose and identity. That's what Athletes for Care offers, you know, for all the players.
You are listening to Free Culture Radio. I'm Doug McVeigh, and my guest is Riley Cote, a retired professional hockey player and a co-founder of the organization Athletes for Care. What kind of response are you getting from the general public and from people and from fans and such?
Actually, unbelievable responses. I think 4 or 5 times a day I'm getting messages from random people just like commending, you know, what I'm doing. And I'm not doing this for the, you know, getting a pat on the back, but just, you know, showing you the support that we are getting is, it's just, it's been unbelievable, actually, you know, because I think the idea of integrating cannabis and sports seems a little bit crazy from afar, But when you learn about it and you believe in it and you understand it, it couldn't be more perfect. So the marriage is unbelievably perfect. And I think people see that once you kind of lay it out there with science and you lay it out there in conjunction with a story. And I've put myself out there. I speak now regularly. I've been telling my story, and it seems odd, but I guess it works and people connect with it. And, you know, and I think it's been amazing how much momentum this has gotten. But every day, a few times a day, messages, whether it's just random fans or random people I actually have a bunch of messages that say that I become more of a fan of you since you've been doing what you're doing than it was when you were playing and stuff like that. And to me, that's like, that is a compliment to me, because again, what I did on the ice is irrelevant. I mean, that was just strictly a job. That was not who I was. That was just me. That was my ego. You know what I mean? So for me to hear that, you know, the thing I'm doing right now and, you know, the purpose and everything I stand for now is making people, you know, think that way is pretty rewarding for me. So that's, you know, I feel like I'm on the right path. I've never doubted myself since I got into this, because when you believe in something and you believe in yourself, the haters are going to hate. But telling honest truth, the haters are hating. They're not letting me know about it. You know what I mean? They're hating behind closed doors, because, you know, a lot of stuff when I post on social media and stuff, I would expect some negative comments, but it's all positive, telling honest truth. And the haters, if they are thinking it, at least they're not posting it on my stuff. So there's always, I mean, obviously we're a confused society, so there's always people are going to probably look at my posts and be like, pfft. But, you know, it's real. And if I keep, you know, throwing it out there, keep throwing it in their face, like they can't look away for very long, or you can just unfriend me. But, the cat's out of the bag. The information's out there. And all I'm trying to do is just lay it out there and keep planting seeds. Because all I care about is people, people grabbing hold of their health and taking ownership of it and being accountable. Because, again, if you're going to wait for the federal government to lift the ban and tell you that the cannabis is okay, you might wait another 10 years. You know what I mean? If you're waiting for them to, you know, magically guide you and really care about your health, it's never going to happen. So, I mean, again, cannabis to me is, I'm getting back to even before you get into the disease state, is cannabis. We should be eating cannabis every day, from the hemp seeds, from a protein standpoint, juicing leaves, again, dietary essential. Get these cannabinoids in you. You don't have to heat them up. It doesn't have to be psychoactive. Get them in you. And, get your body balanced, you know, and really start taking care of ourselves so we don't, maybe you don't find these disease states that we land up in, because we're just so consumed with calories and just empty calories and this way of life that we're just going to magically find the silver bullet cure on the back end of it once we've, you know, polluted ourselves to death. So, like, we got to change the way we approach life. We got to change the way we just approach our daily habits and daily behaviors. And I think once we do that and implement things that promote wellness, we don't get sick. You know what I mean? And I understand a good chunk of this problem is that we're being poisoned, and, you know, we just have to be more, we have to be conscious enough to avoid some of these toxins. We're not going to be able to avoid them all, but, I mean, diet is a huge part of consuming toxins and drinking calories and medicine too. I mean, if you're taking toxic medicine that's screwing around with your liver and everything else, that's like, you know, long term, that's not sustainable. So we got to look at this thing from, you know, the big picture, and we want to manage our ailments sustainably, where the side effect isn't worse than the condition itself, where we're actually self-polluting again. So there's a lot of layers to this, but it really is becoming more mindful and more conscious of the things we do to promote wellness.
You'll be speaking in a few minutes at this this thing, I guess. You're saying something somewhere here.
Hopefully I didn't use all my ammo here. But
that's just a warm-up.
Yeah, exactly. Get me on my soapbox here, getting going. So, no, I should be good. Yeah, I'm going to be kind of regurgitating the same kind of story I'm telling you here. So just my experience, you know, growing up, introducing cannabis at a young age, and how it's, you know, the mindset's evolved from a, you know, recreational setting type of thing to a very therapeutic healing thing. And then fast forward, post-career, like really understanding the science behind it, and kind of connecting all the dots and making this like a full package, for me to promote and to stand behind, you know, from an advocacy standpoint, but also from a business standpoint. I mean, if you can integrate passion and business together, to me, it doesn't seem like it's going to be a lot of work in my life. I mean, it's work is work, but it's different type of work when you love what you do and helping people and healing people. And I call myself a healer. Not that I'm a shaman or a doctor by any means, but I think I have a good understanding of Mother Nature and introducing people to Mother Nature, where, you know, you can lead a horse to water, you can't make him drink it. The true healer is the individual. It's not the healer themselves. You know what I mean? So I think what I've learned is I have a knack at putting things into perspective for people, where, again, you plant seeds with people. Some people aren't ready for this information. Some people aren't ready in their lives to make change. But eventually they will, and maybe eventually they're ready for it, and then they resort back to this conversation that we once had, and be like, oh, I get what he was saying now, and it makes sense, and now I'm ready. You know what I mean? And I think that's it, and everyone's in a different point of their lives, and everyone's seeking answers, but some people just aren't ready for this information, and whatever information is, whether it's cannabis-related or not, health-related, because it requires, because once you know, now you're accountable. People resist change. They don't want to hear it until they're forced to, and something bad happens, something negative happens, and then it's like, wow, better pull my boots up and get going here now. And, you know, until it's, you know, that's just the way it is. That's the way humans seem to be designed right now. So, you know, all we can do is teach, educate, plant seeds. You know, the healer's job is to provide information, but not provide information, material information outside of us, but to really help people connect with themselves, find themselves. And once you find yourself, you become a healer. You heal. You know what I mean? It's no one else is doing it for you but yourself. And that's what you have to, I mean, you have to use the natural tools around you, but you have to be the one conscious enough and knowledgeable enough to seek that too. I mean, that's where I was going back earlier, is when I was talking about blind faith and just praying that some magical power is going to come over and heal you of your ailments that you've caused over your lifetime. No one else has caused, but without having to do anything on the back end of it. So again, I say ownership. It is ownership. It's just taking your health back.
And that's it. Many thanks to my guest, Riley Cote. You can find out more about him and the organization Athletes for Care at athletesforcare.org. A big thank you to our engineer, and thanks especially to you, dear listener, for your support. You make it all worth it. Free Culture Radio has a webpage at kboo.fm/freeculture. Free Culture Radio also has a Facebook page. It's facebook.com/kboofreecultureradio. We'll be back in a month to continue our examination of drugs, drug cultures, and the influence of drugs on society. Thanks again for listening. This is Doug McVeigh saying so long. So long!